Welcome to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast, a weekly conversation about mental health, personal development, and all the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information or to find a therapist in your area, visit our website at therapyforblackgirls.com. While I hope you love listening to and learning from the podcast, it is not meant to be a substitute for a relationship with a licensed mental health professional. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for joining me for session 338 of the Therapy for Black Girls podcast. We'll get right into our conversation after a word from our sponsors. Introducing our new Therapy for Black Girls holiday gift collection. Our new ensemble of drinkware, totes, journals, and sweaters were made to remind you of the importance of centering your mental health. Purchase your TBG gifts at therapyforblackgirls.com/shop. Happy holidays, y'all. Remember to take good care and give good gifts. Nowadays, a lot of these big companies pretend to care about our communities and issues with nothing more than lip service. State Farm is the opposite. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help educate in financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something they care deeply about. They want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't mean authenticity, that it takes a good neighbor to sponsor programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, and to fund programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth that to date participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Buying your first car can make you feel like a superstar as it's a big purchase, but it can take time to get there. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it. As we eagerly anticipate the upcoming musical adaptation of The Color Purple, I'm sure I'm not alone in deciding to rewatch the original film in preparation. And whew, I'm so glad I did. From the iconic sisterhood between Celie and Nettie, the show-stopping beauty of Suge, and the lessons we learn in trauma and resilience, it's clear why this film still resonates with so many of us today. I spent some time for this episode with TBG's community assistant, Naisha, to discuss our memories of watching the original film, our favorite characters and moments, and what we're looking forward to in the upcoming adaptation. If something resonates with you while enjoying our conversation, please share with us on social media using the hashtag TBGInSession, or join us over in the Sister Circle to talk more about the episode. You can join us at community.therapyforblackgirls.com. Here's our conversation.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me again today, Naisha.
Dr. Joy, I'm excited to get into the subject, to the topic. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's always so fun to have the team with me to chat about things that are happening in pop culture. We were last chatting about the Renaissance, so many of you will remember Naisha from that. But Naisha, if you would just introduce yourself and tell people what you do on the team.
Yeah, so hi everyone. I'm Naisha. I'm the community assistant here with TBG, and I help run our sister circle, and I'm so grateful for the TBG community.
Yes. So we are both anxiously anticipating the release of the Color Purple film that'll be coming out on Christmas Day. And so we took this opportunity this week, the past couple of weeks, to rewatch the original. So I'm curious to hear from you, Naisha. What were your memories of watching the Color Purple the first time?
Oh yeah, so I was young. Unfortunately, I remember the tough moments, the rough moments. And of course, social media popularized the negativity. And it's so crazy. I remember when I saw Celie spitting in a cup. And I was like, that is so bad. Why would she do that? I thought it was a family member she was talking to. And I was like, why would you do that to a family member? So just like the small clips and then, the things that are on social media. So I'm so happy I took the time to watch it again.
I don't remember how old I was when it originally came out, but I don't remember like fully seeing the film in its entirety. I feel like I saw bits and pieces here and there. Well, I think it used to come on BET pretty frequently, and so I think I would catch clips, but I don't know that I had ever sat down to like watch the film. And so, like you, I took the opportunity to watch it for the first time in a long time, I guess. And it was really struck by the storyline. And, again, I had seen like some of the more popular clips and those sayings that people repeat very often, but it was very interesting, I think, to see the film in its entirety, especially as an adult. Okay, so since you watched the film recently, if there was one clip or scene that you feel like was really memorable for you, what would you say it would be?
Yeah, so as I was watching it, the part when Suge Avery came and Mr. was just enthralled by her being in his presence and he was trying to cook. And this is when Celie sat down. She was like, you're gonna try to work that kitchen yourself, but I ain't doing nothing. And I feel like that was her moment to like, she's like, I got this. I know what I'm doing, but now I'm gonna look at you. You're treating someone else way better than you treated me. So let me see what you can do about this. And then it was so funny. He grabbed the kerosene because he couldn't light up the stove. And she was like, oh, I'm out of here. And so that overall, that moment, and again, I've seen that on social media with her just smiling, but since I had not seen the film in so long, I didn't really remember what that was symbolizing. So that was just her moment, like, you're not as powerful as you think you are. That's how I took that.
Yeah, so I feel like Suge was also part of one of my favorite clips from the movie. One of my favorite scenes was her singing the song to Steely in the juke joint, I guess, right? I just thought that was a really beautiful moment and a example of her really seeing Steely for who she was. I feel like only in her experience with Suge was she really seen as an individual since she had been separated from Nettie. And so I just thought that that was a beautiful point of connection for them both. It definitely seemed like they got off to a rocky start, right? When Suge first was introduced to the family, but then seeing how their relationship grew and how she really had admiration and love for her by singing that song, I thought was just a beautiful moment in the film.
Agreed 100%. And as you mentioned, it was a little rocky, but Suge mentioned she was like, I was just jealous of you because you were with Mr., also known as Albert, which I thought was also funny. She was like, Albert, who's this? So she was like, it's all love. I was just jealous. And, of course, coming off of the high of Sisterhood heels, I'll touch on this later on, but the movie was full of sisterhood, and I didn't realize that. I only took away the negative parts because, of course, the media and social media, but everything was just love through Black woman. And I'm so grateful I got to experience that now. And I'm excited. I didn't think I would be leaving my house on Christmas Day, but maybe if I got a chance,
Right.
yay. Maybe.
Gotta check it out. Gotta check it out. Right. So one thing that I did want to check in with you about just to see what you made of this moment. So when Suge is first introduced into the film, it seems like she is like in her room as a recluse for a couple of days, which to me pointed to maybe some mental health concerns going on. What did you make of that, and what did you think was going on there?
Yeah, so immediately when she came in, I'm like, oh my gosh, she got off tour, she had a rough night. I was just giving her the benefit of the doubt, but when Mr.'s dad came in the picture. He was like, what are you doing with her? Nobody wants her. So then it made me put it connected together. Like, she needs a moment to recoup. She's trying to find herself. She's always on stage. Is that truly her character on stage? I was making this up in my head, but just because we didn't know the behind the scenes of her life, truly, we were just going by what the rumors were within the town. So she needed her moment. And then Celie was happy to take care of her because she was showing her love. And that's kind of when their relationship, as far as sisters, began.
Right. So what did you think was the story behind why her and Mr. did not actually get together? Because it seemed like she was interested. You know, I think she made a comment about, if I would have married anybody, it would have been him. Mm-hmm. And clearly he still has this like undying love for her and like really sees her as the one that got away. So why do you think they didn't ever actually get married or get together?
Goodness, I didn't even think about that. When she did come back with her husband, obviously you could tell this is a guy who's, I don't know, has more money than Mr. I'm not sure, but maybe Mr. had a bunch of children. He had a bunch of children. You know, he had his wife. Maybe because he had so much children, he didn't know who's going to watch these children. And also, he was, that's the parent in me, but he was also so interested in other younger women. He was going to church, and when he was eyeing Nettie, I don't feel like he wasn't on the level that she needed. And she's like, but don't worry, I'm going to come back for you. This is what I have in my mind. She's like, I'm going to come back for you, and we'll figure it out from there, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So we've talked about some of our most memorable kind of scenes. Who would you say is your favorite character from the film?
Yeah, Miss Sophia. Miss Sophia, she wasn't having it. She wasn't having it. When someone hit her, when someone made her upset, the whole town was like, oh goodness, no. So when she went to slap the white woman, the mayor's wife, I thought she wasn't going to do it. But she was like, no, how dare you? Hell no. So sorry. She didn't slap the wife. She punched the husband because he slapped her. Right. Thank you. And I was like, you did it. You said, you know, you're going to stand up for yourself because you had to, you know, all my life I had to fight. And she just kept going. So then we saw her in jail. We saw her come out. And we saw her story more than I remember. And then, of course, toward the end, as his father says, the dead has risen. And I laugh because I'm like, oh snap, here she is. And she was ready to rekindle that whole household for the children and help them, and then help Harpo, you know, just keep his juke joint going.
Yeah. So Miss Sophia definitely was my favorite in the film too. And like you, I hadn't remembered her having such a central role in the film. I think because we mostly see Nettie and Celie in like clips. And so I didn't know that Miss Sophia had such a big role. But I love that she came in at a time when it clearly was not okay for like women to have their own thoughts and opinions. And that was like negatively looked down on. She came in with a very clear sense of who she was, what she brought to the table and the words people use today. I mean, was really looking to marry Harpo because she genuinely wanted to be with him and thought that it was going to be like a blending of their families, right? And, you know, you can see Harpo getting all this awful advice about like how to treat her and how to tame her, so to speak, right? And so it really did feel like there were several people, Celie included, because of how she had been treated, thinking that to tame her and to break her spirit, the only way to do that was through hitting her. And so I love that even during that time when it wasn't okay for women to be as assertive as she was, that a character like her was a part of the film. Now, sadly, we saw how she was treated because of that, but I did appreciate that they showed her coming in with a strong point of view and a strong vantage point. I mean, like you, it feels like sisterhood has been a theme for Therapy for Black Girls this year with the book coming out. The sisterhood between Celie and Miss Sophia, I thought, was really strong. I think we saw it in moments when she and Harpo were still together, but definitely when Miss Sophia had been released from jail and they had this interaction in the store and Celie helps her to like get the shopping list together. And then we see that carried out in, you know, the ways that they took care of one another, it felt like throughout the rest of their time together. And so I really appreciated Miss Sophia as a character, but also the relationship that she had with Celie.
100%. And it's so funny when you talk about the store scene, it reminded me in Sisterhood Heels, shameless plug here, when you said when a parent is in an airport and if a Black woman is there, they got you, they're going to help you out. Your daughter, your child, you know, they're going to be well. So she was in a store. This is when her eye, like when, you know, when she came through, right. She left jail, her eye was just like totally damaged. And Celie saw her in the store trying to squint and read the list. She was like, I got you. Don't worry. I got you. And then when they got in the car, you know, after shopping was done and she signed to her, she was like, keep your head up. And I was like, yes, she's there for you. She's there. And yeah. I really enjoyed it. And I didn't even remember that at all.
So I think there have been lots of conversations just around like lots of old classics, like The Color Purple kind of getting remade and people having different feelings. Mm-hmm. But you know, The Color Purple is one something that feels like it has stuck with people for a very long time. Like people feel very moved by the original and by the musical. And now even early reactions that we're hearing from people who have got a chance to see the new movie have really, really enjoyed it. And it sounds like there's a fresh spin. What do you think has really made The Color Purple something that has stuck with audiences for so long?
The character, seeing Oprah and of course Whoopi and where they are now, where they began, because literally that was the movie for her. And she didn't think she was going to get the role. She thought she was too fat for the role of Miss Sophia. And she got that role, and that was back then. And now look at her now. So, you know, in my thoughts, it's the characters. And, you know, just seeing Whoopi go and just level up in so many different areas. She still has her opinion as herself, but that is what made her. And because of them, that's why Black culture is so strong. It's because you can start from one place and then pivot into so many different businesses and ventures and, you know, help the community in a variety of ways.
Mm-hmm. I think about, and again, because we both don't have the greatest memories of seeing it in real time, it definitely feels like it has probably been so impactful to people because it probably was one of the first experiences of Black women's stories and lives being shared on the big screen in that way. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's something about seeing yourself on film in that way that I think really is memorable and impactful for people. And I think a lot of people have, sadly, connections to these characters because there are often histories of assault in our families or women being talked down to or, you know, kind of all the fighting that women have to do, right? I think that's why the line of, till you do right by me, ain't no good gonna come to you, is often something that we find ourselves repeating, right? Because I think a lot of us have felt in those ways, maybe not the same exact experiences, mm-hmm. but I think that there are lots of experiences in many of our lives that feel similar to what we've seen depicted in this movie.
100%. And I wish, Dr. Joy, I can ask this question to both of my grandmothers. One grandmother, she saw it on Broadway and she with Fantasia. She was so excited. She had the playbill. It was actually signed. I believe I have it in my garage. But I would wish I could ask her that question. Like, how did you feel seeing the movie? And how did you feel seeing the Broadway show? And what do you think it did for Black culture? Not even that. I would just ask her that just to keep it simple. Because she would probably say, our stories are being told on the big screen in 1985. You know,
right.
So I would love to ask that question.
More from our conversation after the break. Nowadays, a lot of these big companies pretend to care about our communities and issues with nothing more than lip service. State Farm is the opposite. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help educate in financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something they care deeply about. They want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't mean authenticity, that it takes a good neighbor to sponsor programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, and to fund programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth that to date participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Growing up watching media legends like Gwen Ifill and Robin Roberts always gave me the security that stories that matter to me would be told. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Something else that I think was impactful and I think memorable is that the relationship between Suge and Seeley, mm-hmm. I feel like was one of the first experiences we saw of like a queer relationship mm-hmm. between Black women on film. Why do you think that was so important?
It was 1985. We brought this up in the sister circle. You were not walking into your mother's house saying that I have an interest in a woman and still be there possibly. A large majority of women would not be able to share this with their father, their mother, their grandmothers. So just seeing it on the screen, it showed the equality in the beginning. It was a hint. And I also believe it wasn't a romantic relationship. It was like a passionate, loving, like, you know, you even want to hold, when we're best friends, we want to lock arms with our best friend. I think that's how I saw it. I didn't really see it as a romantic, even a sexualized relationship. I didn't see it like that. It was just a loving situation. Even we saw when Nettie and Seeley were reunited, they kissed on the lips. They loved each other. It was just like, right. Thank you. I feel embraced. Thank you. I'm so happy to see you.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. And I think, though, what it did for Seeley, like Suge kissing her and them having that exchange the way that they did, it feels like it did unlock something for her. In that clearly there had never been these loving feelings towards Mr., right? Like that was not at all a loving relationship. And so it does feel like the experience with Suge really opened her eyes to somebody can care for me mm-hmm. in this way. And like, I can have this kind of connection with somebody else. But, you know, and I think that was really depicted well on film when she was planning to leave with Suge, and then like when that moment doesn't happen and she just passes out in the street, right? Mm-hmm. So I really think she was holding on to that moment to feel something, because it does feel like, again, Suge was the first person I think that had really seen her in that way since the connection between her and Nettie had been lost.
Yeah, and it was tough for her. As you said, she passed out. I was like, go ahead, go, get on the buggy, go ahead. And she couldn't. But then just because, of course, we know the timeline, I was like, it's okay. Y'all going to be reunited. I didn't know how they will be reunited because I didn't remember. But, you know, mm-hmm. eventually it came about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You mentioned that your grandmother saw the musical. Have you seen the musical?
I did. In New York, I saw it 3 times on Broadway. But it's so crazy. I saw it with Jennifer Hudson as Suge Avery. And I'm a New Yorker. So we stood in line with one of the cast members from The Color Purple who played Mister. I don't remember his name, but I feel so bad. But he was like, you're going to enjoy it. And we stood in line early in the morning. We got orchestra seats for like $50. And I did it 3 times. And we enjoyed it. And we had a talk back session with Jennifer Hudson. It was fabulous. Wow. My wife is a big fan of Jennifer Hudson and The Color Purple. And she didn't even see Beyonce at all. But she's like, I'm going to see The Color Purple. And she's not interested.
This is her renaissance.
This is her renaissance.
I love that. So I have not seen the musical. So I am curious to see like how the musical is going to be different from the film. So what can you share about your experience with the musical and how it was different from then what you saw in the original film?
When Seeley had her pants shop in the musical, it was a big galore. Like it was, they made a big, big thing about it. So you saw Miss Sophia and Harpo, they tried on pants, but like the women of the town, everyone had their size because one size fits all. And they were just so happy for her. So they made it bigger in the musical. And then also obviously when Shook Avery was performing, that was a big thing for sure. It was musical. So it was orchestra and it was music and it was everything there. Here, it was like, she didn't have no mic. This is what they had. It was just her singing. Obviously, it was a great performance, but everything was just so much bigger. So this is what I look forward to. And even seeing, like, you know, interviews and clips of Shook Avery, you know, she was it. So I look forward to seeing that. And I'm Here. Fantasia Brino is singing I'm Here. When CeeLee left, she was like, I'm here now. I may be ugly. I may be a woman, but I'm here. That was totally different in the musical. That was the song. We were standing ovation. So again, I look forward to that in the musical, the revamp. And then Fantasia also said that was the hardest part of the movie for her. We were in the sister circle. We were watching an interview with them and they were like, what was the tough moments? And of course they shared the labor, you know, being up, staying up late. But Fantasia said that was hard because it really hit her, and her cast members all worked so hard together to bring that to life.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see the musical version. And I'm curious to know whether I will like that one better or not, because I do feel like the film, it feels like a very like heavy, serious, though there are moments of joy and like love and that kind of thing. It felt like it was done well on film. And so I'm curious to see how that translates to the musical version. So I want to know what that's going to feel like, if it's going to have that same feeling of seriousness or whether the tone will change a little because it's more music added.
And the benefit of people who could not watch the film, I know a couple of people who could not watch it because it was so heavy. I hope the musical adaptation helps them, and I don't want to say enjoy it, but be able to just actually sit down and receive such a wonderful project, because this is what it is. Like, it really set the stone for Black women's stories. So I hope that's what it gives. When someone shared that with me, I said, I hear you. They could not watch it because it was so heavy. And that was a different experience for me.
Right.
More from our conversation after the break. Nowadays, a lot of these big companies pretend to care about our communities and issues with nothing more than lip service. State Farm is the opposite. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help educate in financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something they care deeply about. They want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't mean authenticity, that it takes a good neighbor to sponsor programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, and to fund programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth that to date participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Many people feel anxious when they think about finances. It can feel overwhelming, stressful, and even hopeless, especially when you're first starting out and don't know what to do. But when you have a solid financial plan in place, this anxiety turns into confidence. You can regain a sense of control over your life and improve your self-esteem. How do you build financial confidence? Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it.
So we know that for the original film was directed by Steven Spielberg. There was lots of criticism, of course, him being a white man. And so this newest adaptation is directed by the Ghanaian filmmaker Blitz Bazawule. So what do you think will be the different vantage point that he will bring to this film that, of course, Steven Spielberg was not able to?
Goodness gracious. I thought that would be an easy question, but that's a little tough because I feel like Steven Spielberg was such an ally because of the film that he put together. And that's hard, Dr. Dre. I'm not going to lie to you. That's a little hard. Mm-hmm. Outside of just updated scenery and more things for the cast to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also find it interesting that I don't know who did the first Broadway adaptation, but it's interesting to me that both of these have been, like, none of them have been Black women.
Right.
And so it's interesting that I'm sure Blitz, of course, has a very different vantage point than Steven Spielberg does. But what would it look like for the story to be interpreted through a Black woman's eyes? And, like, what might they do differently? I think would be really interesting.
I'm sure Oprah had a really big stamp on a good portion because people want to honor her character as well as Whoopi. I'm not sure how much Whoopi attributed to the direction portion. I don't think much, but I know Oprah, she was a part of behind the scenes very much so. So it's them together in my eyes because I was looking more of it on Oprah's stamp.
Very good point. Yeah, she has clearly been very involved in the promotion of it for sure. And I'm sure in making sure that the film kept the spirit of what they wanted to share. So we've already touched on this a little bit, but there are clearly some very big heavy hitters that they've casted for this new adaptation. So Hailey Bailey is in it, her, we've already talked about Fantasia, Danielle Brooks. Mm-hmm. So who are you most looking forward to? You said you liked the Fantasia song on when you saw it on Broadway. Are you looking forward to that again or something else?
So, oh my goodness. Danielle Brooks, she did such a great job as Sophia on Broadway. And I pulled up the cast really quick because I was like, where does her come in? She's Squeak. I'm looking forward to it because I've never seen her perform. But it's I don't want to be biased, but the top three characters, Miss Sophia, Nettie, and Celie. Shug Avery was Jennifer Hudson on Broadway. But definitely Taraji. I haven't seen her in this role. She's always a headhunter in some type of way. But just being, you know, just being in another role, I'm excited.
I'm excited for all of it. Like I said, because I have not seen the musical. I think the casting has been superb. It feels like great choices for the cast. And I really am enjoying seeing how the cast has grown as a family unit. It feels like in a lot of ways through the press runs and I'm sure through the filming. I am so, so excited that the strike is over because people are getting paid what they're worth and that the writers seem happy and that the actors seem happy. But I'm also really glad that we're actually getting to have a press run for this film because it feels like it deserves to have that space to really be celebrated and for people to get really excited about it. And so I'm really glad that we've been able to kind of see them do the interviews in the traditional ways that we typically see the actors do press runs. So I don't know that there's any one person that I'm excited about seeing. I think I'm just excited to see what the musical version feels like versus the film adaptation.
100%. And I look forward to see the nominations. They already got some nominations. I said, wow, that was behind the scenes. We didn't even see
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. I guess I don't know enough about like how timelines work in terms of stuff being entered because it isn't out for the public yet, but maybe because they've had so many advanced screenings, it qualifies, I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, but I was like, okay, good for them. So I'm looking forward to more because this is going to just put the step up above for all the cast members. And I wanted to touch on something. I was in the sister circle. We were looking at three different interviews together. Danielle Brooks said, you know, she definitely came about on Orange and the Black. Cheers. I'm so happy for her. And I was an extra on Orange is the New Black for a couple of seasons. So seeing them, it's like, great. Like now I saw her there. I saw her on Broadway. And now I'm going to see her here again. She said she felt like an imposter when she was nominated for, which was it a Golden Globe?
Mm-hmm.
Nominated for a Golden Globe. She said she called out the next day sick because she was nauseous. And Oprah said, why? And she was like, because I thought she was like, she had imposter syndrome. And again, in the sister circle, we were like, it's not just us. Celebrities have it too. It's not just us. I'm happy she shared that with us and she was vulnerable. It was an interview with Oprah and Gail and the rest of the team. And it was like, wow, you know, you got this, sis.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that interview, but I appreciate you sharing that because you're right. Like, I do feel like with every new level, some of that same doubt creeps in, right? So it's like, okay, I've done smaller things and maybe I feel comfortable there, but now clearly her platform is much larger. Her star has risen much higher. And so she's introduced to a whole new audience of people. And so I think it is normal sometimes to have that, like, oh, do I really deserve this? Or do I really know what I'm doing? But again, from all of the early accounts I have seen, people have loved it, have loved the cast. They have really appreciated the adaptation, even though it was already adapted into the musical. I think this is another version of an adaptation. And so it feels like they've done some really cool things with it. And so I'm just really glad that they are being celebrated in the ways that they deserve for, again, having a Black woman story, a story about Black women that really centers our experiences in the limelight in this way.
100%. I'm so excited for them. We had Beyonce. We got The Color Purple. Let's top up the charts. Okay. So just to see, you know, our faces in the theaters at this level, I'm so excited.
The other thing that I'm thinking about is, are there other films maybe from that 80s, early 90s genre that you think are due for a remake or some kind of new adaptation?
Absolutely. If Beale Street Could Talk. If Beale Street Could Talk, 100, and Oprah was in that, but because, again, the sisterhood and just the stories that were told on Beale Street, let's bring it back. And Dr. Dre, let's see if this is going to really come, if this is going to happen, because it deserves to, because Black women hold one another down. And sometimes I feel like, you know, with reality TV, we don't honor it so much. We do hold one another down. We see the negativity very often with reality TV shows sometimes. So I'm like, let's see the joy of Black sisterhood. So if Beale Street Could Talk, in my mind, that would be a good one.
See, I think mine would be Waiting to Exhale. Oh. And I feel like we've had versions of it, right? I feel like even Insecure was a little bit of this, but Insecure was a sitcom. So we got 20, 25 minute episodes. I would love to see a longer version of what would those four women look like if they were placed in the 2020s, right? And how would their relationships be? While I think there are opportunities for us to kind of remake some of our Black women classics, I also hope that other films get an opportunity to be made, right? Because new stories are also important, right? I just think that there's so much to say from the Black woman's vantage point. There are so many things that I think have gone unexplored about the interior pieces of our lives that I really hope get some new shine so that there can be more, like there can be more of a celebration of the fullness of who we are as Black women and not just like only the pieces about trauma or only the pieces about relationships, but you know, all the things that I think really go to make up our lives.
100%. So I'm ready. Like overall, when it comes to a Black woman on screen, I'm excited. Like I remember when The Other Black Girl came out on Hulu, everybody was on it. Now I can't say not everybody enjoyed it all, but I'm happy that we had the chance and opportunity, and I feel bad for saying that, but just it was.
But see, that's the thing, I think when there is more of the stuff made, then it's okay for us to say like, oh, we didn't like this as much, right? But I think because we are so protective of the few things that we have, it feels like you don't want to like say like, oh, I don't know that I love that so much. But I think that's why we need a variety of stories to be told, because everything is not for everybody, right? And so with more stories being told, then we can have an opportunity to see ourselves and have content that we really enjoy.
100%. Thank you for making me feel better about that, because that's what it is. It's like, no, but sis, I got you, but it wasn't really my realm. But I know there's so much more coming, so I'm ready. Let's do it.
So we've touched on this a little bit, but I am curious to hear if there are any other sisterhood moments that felt really poignant to you from The Color Purple that you want to make sure to highlight.
Yeah. So again, going back to Sophia, when she was like, it was time for her to leave Harpo. All the women, and they didn't have really speaking roles. All the women, they were getting her children. And then when she was let go from jail and she got to go visit her family for like an hour on Christmas, not even, it wasn't even an hour on Christmas. And they were all there welcoming her. And it was like, this is that sisterhood. They got one another. And then when we saw Shug Avery, I know I'm jumping around. When we saw Shug Avery, of course, just show that Celie, she got it within her. She can literally live up to her potential. That was like, boom, sisterhood. And then we saw that all of them were in the house at the end when Nettie and Celie were reunited. It was like, look at all this. I want that picture on my wall, because that was something like that. I'm like, come on, that is just joy right there. And we see snippets of individual experiences they had outside of the woman, who were helping Miss Sophia, which I thought they were very important to the film.
Yeah, and you know, I think that dinner scene when Celia feels like finally finds her voice, right? Like she's found all these letters that Nettie has written her that clearly she didn't know that all of that was still happening. She didn't know that all these letters had been hidden from her. Mm-hmm. And once she is able to read those through Suge's assistance, right? I really feel like that set off this beautiful domino effect, because I feel like Suge was somebody who had the opportunity to kind of lean into the fullness of who she was, right? She was able to step into her gift and go on tour, which means she had been exposed to lots of different things. Whereas Celia, it feels like, had never left her really small town, had not gotten the opportunity, but she was able to come back and share a little bit of that with her, which then allowed Celia to speak up at the dinner. And then we see Harpo's then wife decide, like, hey, I want to go be a singer too. Like, I have gifts I want to share. And so to me, it just reminded me of how important it is for us to share our experiences, share our voices in the interest of like sharing our own stories, but also because we never know what it is unlocking for someone else. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I just felt like that was a beautiful kind of domino effect of you being who you are so that other people feel emboldened to be who they are and just step out on faith in those same ways.
Yes, I realized there was so much in the movie. I didn't even like think about that to, you know, share that. So when you share that, it made me think, oh my God, was her name Mary Squeak? Her real name? Like they said, I thought her name was Squeak, but because it's because the men called her Squeak. I'm very confident she didn't give herself that name. So she was finding her voice. I was like, look at that. And they're all going together. You know, no one was like, you can't come with me, sis. No, it's like, you want to go? Let's go. And then the men were looking at, they were like, what? You know, what is happening here? So it was just like that joy. It's all around, spread throughout the characters. And then I was like, why Miss Sophia don't want to go? She was confused at sitting at the table. And then when she finally came back, I was like, she didn't want to go. Maybe I feel like she wanted to stay with Harpo. So I get, actually, I was like, is she going to go back to Harpo? So it was a little confusing to me. I was like, are they back together? Because you remember when she was cleaning the glasses in the juke joint, Mr. was like, it's so nice to see you two together. And she was like, I ain't say all that.
But it did feel like by the end, like when they were trying on the pants in the pants shop, it definitely felt like they were together. Yes. And I do think, though, this could have been an opportunity. Now, clearly, the ways that Harpo had treated Miss Sophia was awful. But it does feel like so much of that was like not really a part of Harpo. It was because other people told him, like, this is what a man is, right? And this is how you take care of your woman and how you tame her. And so it does feel like maybe they had been able to come back together in ways that were healthy by the end and clearly learn that this is how you are in relationship with one another, not as a domineering kind of force over her.
Right. Yeah. So definitely that was not his goal to hurt her, but it started from his grandfather. You know, his grandfather told his father, this is what you do. And his father took that very serious. And then his father was like, this is what you do. And then again, we said in the beginning, Celie, this is all she knew. So although she was building somewhat of a relationship with Miss Sophia, she said what she knew. So yeah, she was, man, I really enjoyed her storyline. Again, didn't really remember it. And then going back to the musical, when Nettie was in Africa, in the musical on Broadway, they just, the sound and the music, and they had real instruments. It was like, this is amazing. So that's what I do also look forward to. So like the letters were being read, just sharing information about the tribe. I was like, this is awesome. We actually have that's the only album Sam bought from iTunes, The Color Purple.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, everything has gotten bigger. Technology has gotten better. Who knows? There probably were like live instrumentation. And, you know, I know that we are going to be in for a treat for this newest adaptation. So I'm just so excited for you to see it and for all of our community to check it out so that people can share their thoughts and responses to the new film as well.
Agreed. Now, I was questioning, I was like, am I going to wear purple to the movie? If I go to the movies to see it. I was like, because when Oprah would see people in purple, she would say, thank you so much for wearing purple. Thank you so much. And they also said, you know, in the movie, you can't walk past the color purple and not smile. It's like, okay, I don't have that much purple, but I can figure it out.
You can figure it out. I mean, if we figured out the silver for the Renaissance, we can surely get some purple together for sure. Yes, we
can. So I look forward to seeing it. I may not see it on Christmas Day, but I know I'll be ready for it.
Well, thank you for spending some time with me again today, Naisha. Remind us where we can find you online.
Oh, you can find me at Two Mommies and a Baby. It's just parenthood and life there.
Yes. Well, thank you again.
Thank you so much, Dr. Joy.
I'm so glad that Naisha was able to join me for this conversation. To learn more about her and her work, be sure to visit the show notes at therapyforblackgirls.com/session338. And don't forget to text this episode to two of your girls right now. If you're looking for a therapist in your area, check out our therapist directory at therapyforblackgirls.com/directory. And if you want to continue digging into this topic or just be in community with other sisters, come on over and join us in the Sister Circle. It's our cozy corner of the internet designed just for Black women. You can join us at community.therapyforblackgirls.com. This episode was produced by Frida Lucas, Elise Ellis, and Zaria Taylor. Editing is done by Denison Bradford. Thank y'all so much for joining me again this week. I look forward to continuing this conversation with you all real soon. Take good care.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.